This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The TNT broadcast crew has been stellar on these first two games. They're always great. And the man who called the play-by-play in both Game 1 and Game 2 is back with us, which we appreciate. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He is Spiro Ditas. Spiro, great job again last night. Outstanding work for you and Greg Anthony.
Gentlemen, I appreciate it. How you guys doing?
We're all right. And I thought, Spiro, last night, Cavs just played their you-know-whats off, did a great job, and then in the final 47 seconds, it's like, what the heck is this? How stunned were you about, A, the way they played up until then, and then, B, what happened then?
Yeah, it was crazy. You know, first to get the news before the game that all three of those guys would be out. We thought maybe DeAndre Hunter would at least try to play, but it tells you the severity of the injuries. We were just hoping that Cleveland would be able to compete. I mean, because those are, I mean, you talk about just having Mobley being out is just such a massive shift in how they play. Obviously Garland, it's been evident that they need him, you know, against an Indiana team that plays with such pace. And then you throw in DeAndre, who's been so huge, as you guys know. So I was just impressed, A, that they played so well to start. I thought that the defensive adjustments that Kenny made clearly worked. I thought that they were able to dictate the pace, which is really hard to do against a team like the Pacers that just love to get out and run, and they play at that breakneck pace all the time. And then, you know, we've seen this Pacers team do this now. I mean, there's something special about this group, guys. There really is. I mean, to do what they did, I'm sure you guys saw the clincher against the Bucks. You know, to be down 7 points in overtime in the last 40 seconds and to come back and win, I mean, that's like once in a lifetime. They've now done it twice in a week. And, you know, look, it's one thing to do it against a Bucks team that's kind of one-dimensional without Damian Lillard. It's another thing to do it last night. Now, I know the injuries with Cleveland, but anyone who was in that building these last two games, I mean, that's as good an atmosphere as I've ever been in. And so to be able to do it in that moment and in that environment, just really impressed with Indiana right now.
Spiro, Tom Withers, I'm glad you brought it up. You know, I think we're underselling the Pacers, which seems to be kind of the narrative about this team almost every year. They've got a really good group with a lot of good pieces. Jeff and I were talking before, you know, Nembhard steps up last night, has 13 assists, you know, kind of, you know, defers the takes over the playmaking duties from Halliburton, who's dealing with a left wrist injury. What impresses you most about this Pacers team? Is it the depth? Is it just the components and the way they play together?
Well, first of all, I think people need to do themselves a favor, and I know this isn't going to make people feel better in Cleveland today. You need to take that number four seed in front of Indiana and just get rid of it. This is not a four seed.
You're right.
Okay, we've been watching the NBA playoffs for years, as you guys have. There's nothing about this team that tells me they're a four seed. They can beat any team right now in the league. And I think they've proven that through the first couple of weeks of the playoffs. The thing that impresses me most is, you know, first of all, Rick Carlisle to me has long been one of the most underrated coaches in the league. And we got into it a little bit with Greg last night on the broadcast. The regular season versus the playoffs in pro basketball is maybe as drastic a shift as I think as you can make an argument for any other sport. It's just so different. And when you have a coach of Rick's ilk, I put Eric Spoelstra up there. There's obviously some really great coaches in the league. It really gives you a distinct advantage. The second thing I'll say about Indiana is every one of their guys can pass, Every one of them has great hands, and most all of the guys that Rick plays in his rotation can all shoot. And so that puts such a strain on an opposing defense. And that's what made Cleveland's defense effectiveness, you know, the first three quarters of the game last night, really impressive. But obviously they wore down. I thought Donovan Mitchell was gassed. Jared Allen looked like he was exhausted by the end of that game. And that's part of what Indiana does. They're so relentless. Even in the first part of the game when they were struggling, you know, they're still getting their shots. They're still able to find their spots on the floor. And it's just when everyone on the team can pass the ball more than anything else, I just think that really taxes the defense. And I think we've seen that so far in the series.
Spiro Dedis joining us, and he's calling play-by-play on this series for TNT, working along with Greg Anthony. The Cavs last night obviously had to overcome guys not being there. After the game, Kenny Atkinson said, if I have one regret, it might be that I didn't play more guys. Did you sense any of that, Spiro? And I agree with you. Donovan was gassed. He still kept going. Jared Allen gassed. I wonder if that's something that if these guys can't go, is Kenny going to try and go deeper, and even would that work?
Yeah, first of all, Donovan was exhausted.
Yep.
I mean, there were multiple times where we looked over and he got knocked to the floor a bunch and he took a physical beating last night. I thought that was just an amazing performance by Donovan. You know, to see him put his body on the line, I mean, the guy is just, he's brilliant. I mean, I know that the narrative is he's never gotten past the second round of the playoffs, but Greg Anthony, who's a staunch advocate for Donovan, said, I mean, people need to stop with that. I mean, anyone who's watched this guy perform in the playoffs, he's top 10 playoff scoring average. The guy's literally doing everything he can within his power. And now it's about the other guys. I mean, these other guys got to get their bodies right. And you know, if they're not inspired by what they saw from Donovan Mitchell last night, then I don't know what will. But, you know, hopefully with this extra day of rest in between these next two games, Evan Mobley will be able to play. And obviously Garland. I mean, Garland's got to be able to strap it on and give this team something. So it's a tough spot. I mean, this is as hard as it gets now, because Indiana, you know, guys, again, this is one of the great environments too. I mean, we've done a ton of games there over the years. We did a couple of playoff games last year. I mean, that place is going to be going crazy. You know, they smell the blood in the water now, and they really feel like this team, this Indiana team, has something special, bro. And so this is going to take all of Kenny Atkinson's powers. This is going to take everything that coaching staff has to really devise a game plan, because if those other three guys can't play, Cleveland's in some trouble right now. They're in some serious trouble.
Spiro, you just set up my segue perfectly. Kenny Atkinson, what does he do now going forward, game three? He's got, you know, Ty Jerome, who he really leaned on this year and was as invaluable as any player on the roster, and, you know, had an unforgettable game last night, 1-for-14, just seems indecisive. Does Kenny have to shake up the starting lineup? I mean, obviously we don't know what bodies he's going to have available for game three, but does he need to do something at least with Jerome?
Well, I think you're seeing how fine a line there is in this league, guys, when, you know, you're the sixth man, or, you know, you're the second guy coming off the bench and you're playing, you know, in that 20 to 25 minutes versus now you're a starter.
Right.
Now
second
you're
unit
on the floor for, yeah, you know, 30 plus minutes, and there's more of a burden in terms of what you need to give the team. You know, we all love Ty Jerome. He's been a great story, super confident, had a great, great year this year. Love watching him play. But he's gotten a little exposed in the series, there's no doubt. That's a great question. I thought that he went a little deeper into his bench, Kenny did last night. And again, for three-plus quarters, the game plan really kind of worked to perfection. I mean, they were up 20.
Yeah.
But I just think if there was something he could do over, maybe it's just give Donovan a little bit more rest. I thought the rotations were okay for the most part. I mean, you don't have the success that they had early in the game if the game plan was off. But I just think it comes down to those three guys. I mean, they got to use this extra day that they've got to try to get them physically ready. They may not get to 100%, but, man, it's the playoffs. You know, anything you can give this team, and especially after what they saw Donovan do last night physically, I think hopefully will inspire them to at least get one of them to try to come back and help the team.
Spiro Dedis is joining us, and you can hear him. You're calling the rest of the series as well, are you not, Spiro?
No, ESPN will have game three, and then we will have 4 and 5. So
okay.
We'll be in Indy Sunday, and then assuming there's a game five, we'll be back in Cleveland on Monday and Tuesday.
All right, I'm looking forward to you doing those games, because I've enjoyed your work along with Greg Anthony. Last night, Jared Allen was efficient as efficient could be. He had a double-double. He was 7 of 9. Game 1, he was 6 of 7. Tom and I kicked around earlier. We know he's not out there for his offense. But last night, he was effective and he had 9 shots. If these guys can't go in Game 3, would you try to get him 12, 15 shots? Is Jarrett an offensive option here that could help this team, or do you think he's playing the role that he should be playing?
No, I've been a huge Jarrett Allen fan for a long time, going back to his days in Brooklyn. I think he's one of the few bigs who, I don't want to say can control the game, but you can play your offense through him. The way he passes, he's got really great vision. Obviously, he's got really soft hands for a guy his size. Really nice touch around the basket. And last night, I thought he showed his offensive versatility, especially when they built that lead in the first half. Listen, if those three guys are out, I'm telling him, look, we need more than 9 shots in this next game for sure. I would love to see them try to play through him a little bit more. Anything that they can do just to take some of the burden off of Donovan's hands. Because with Donovan, it's not just that he's got to score a ton of points. It's that he's got to get guys shots. Because as Greg said this on the broadcast last night, they don't have a ton of guys who can create their own shot, especially in this kind of situation. Because, look, regular season is one thing. Playoffs are different. You know, there's no back-to-backs. Indiana has schemed now. They've game planned on a deep level for this Cleveland team. They know the personnel. And this is where getting separation and getting your shots is really, really difficult. So whether it's Jarrett Allen getting some more shots, whether it's, you know, whoever taking some of that burden, they just got to take a little bit off of the plate of Donovan. Because I don't know, as amazing as he is, I don't know that anyone can sustain this level.
Spiro, we've been dissecting the final 47 seconds, as you can imagine, on a tick-for-tock basis. The Naismith follow dunk is really the play that still has people talking here. He might have been a step early in the lane. Obviously, he's still got to go 15-plus feet, though, to get to the ball and dunk it. What was your vantage point on that play? I know Kenny said that he had asked the refs if that was reviewable or not. And apparently it wasn't. And I know they disputed whether or not it was basket interference. It was almost potentially an and one in that situation as well. There was a lot of contact. What were your thoughts on that play and just the presence to even go for that in that moment?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't want to say it. It may be blasphemous, but it just reminded me of MJ doing that.
That's what we said before.
I have not seen a replay. It was just, look, my first reaction was just, holy cow. I mean, is Aaron Nesmith, to think of where he's come as a player. I remember his first couple of years, I think they took him, Boston did, just outside the lottery, and he was just kind of toiling. He was just, you know, barely a fringe rotation player there his first couple of years. And we asked Rick about him last night before the game, Rick Carlisle, and he, you know, he was just singing his praises. You know, he's someone who's grinded, and to see the player that he's become now, I mean, he's as big a part of this Indiana run as Tyrese Haliburton, as Siakam, as all these other guys. And it was just a great play. I mean, in that kind of spot, to be able to make that play. Look, maybe he was in there a split second early. I'm not sure. But, you know, in a playoff game, I don't think that's a call that they're going to make. So it's just one of those deals. You know, you didn't box out. A guy made it a tremendous athletic play, and it was a turning point. I mean, again, for a team to blow a lead like that, there has to be like 6 things that go wrong. And again, all 6 things went wrong. And Indiana, to their credit, they cashed in. Same way they did in the clinching game against Milwaukee. It's just, it was unbelievable to watch.
And you guys did a great job of calling it. Well done. Spiro Dedis from TNT joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Look forward to your work coming up in Game 4. And then we hope Game 5. Spiro, thank you.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you very much.
Thanks, Spiro.
Spiro with Greg Anthony. And again, they will be doing games 4 and 5. ESPN's sneaking one in there in game 3.